Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to use the reading out of Amos chapter 5 as the text and just to emphasize two verses. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins, you who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and turn aside the needy in the gate. Therefore he who is prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. I like stories of the covered wagon days, and I like Western movies, and I always have enjoyed even reading about historical novels about that time of life. And I've thought about how different it was in those days, and I contemplate the hardships that they had when they went across the plains in covered wagons, but it occurs to me that it really wasn't the way I think it was. It would be more like going west in a motorhome than in a tent on wheels. I know, in their covered wagons, they didn't have electricity, they didn't have air conditioning, they didn't have central heat, they didn't have refrigerators, but they didn't have that back in the homes they left either. I mean, the richest people who lived in the best homes didn't have running water, electricity, and refrigeration. Not in those days. In those days, they lived a whole lot different from the way we live nowadays. Our text was written more than 2,000 years before covered wagons went across our plains, and yet it seems like it could be written for us today. It was written 740 years before Christ was born in Bethlehem, and yet it could have come off the press today. Leaders who have been corrupt, taxes that have been a burden, future that is unsure. And the description it gave is one I have heard people give for today. The times are evil. And so the text said it's time for a change. And it seems to me that whenever we hear blame being placed, we like to take it as a group. And whenever there's a call for change, we like to take that as a group too. The country had gone wrong and the country needed to change. But the way God looks at every event that goes on doesn't put it on groups or things. It always places the blame on persons, and it always calls for persons to change. The times were evil, and the country was in trouble because of the actions of individuals. And it's always been true. It matters what people do. Persons make this world what it is. And what else must be obvious is that God is paying attention to what persons do. The first thing you need to know, that even in bad times, when you think we live in godless times, God still owns the time, and God still is in charge of the history. This is a call for you and me, for persons, to use our time in a godly way. I used to spend a lot of my time waiting. Summers would last forever because I loved school. I know some of you kids will be shocked at that, but I looked forward to school. I just enjoyed it. I was telling Harley Becker, I remember the names of every teacher that I ever had in grade school or high school, especially grade school. I look forward to all that, and I would wait for those long summers on my Kansas farm to be over with so I could go to school. If you're going to wait around, a Kansas farm is a great place to wait, but I would wait for the first snow of the season, and I would wait for Christmas, which would take forever, and I would bait a hook and throw it out in the water and just wait for that hook to be taken by a fish and that cork to go under. And there were times when the times flowed like cold molasses. It just seemed to go on forever. Now things go really quickly. You know how sermons are so short from where you sit, that kind of thing. It could be they were just being human, I suppose. Through all of time, there's been this game people play called mine. People have always wanted to own what someone else has. They've always felt robbed because they didn't have as much as someone else had. And Amos could probably step right into our modern time with his warning to the people there as he looked at the times he lived in. He was like, you know those movies, and frequently they take place in Los Angeles. I don't know why. But there's always a nut wearing a sign, and it always says the same thing. The end is near. I mean, that's been in a dozen movies that I've seen. The end is near. Amos had that kind of message. He was that kind of guy. He could fit right into our life today. He knew God had used a pattern through all of history, and he repeated it over and over again. He used history to curb the bad behavior of his people. And Amos said it was coming, and it was. Looming on their border was the country of Assyria. And Assyria would roll over the 10 tribes of Israel, and they would become the lost tribes, and they would never be there again. They were destroyed. Evil time was on its way. The end was near. Are we in those kind of times again today? Is God sending destruction to change our country because we're going the wrong direction? Are we living in a kind of time when doom is headed for us because we aren't doing what God wants us to do? If so, what are we supposed to do, you know, with the time that we have? It seems that maybe we're supposed to be trying to escape destruction. Maybe we're supposed to use the time we have to keep God from coming in and fixing what is wrong. Maybe we're trying to use the time we have to change our behavior so God will not use history to change us. Are we staving off the hand of God? No. Times have changed. There's a very illogical event that occurred, and it changed everything. We live under the illogic of grace. The law of God would tell us that we have not measured up. Our own memory would accuse us of deserving the punishment of God. What happened that's so illogical is Jesus came to erase the memory of God. I know that sounds impossible, but it's a verse I quote to you at least once a month. The Bible describes forgiveness in this way. The Bible does, that God forgets your sins and remembers them no more. There was a time, a moment in history when God decided to place his judgment upon all the sin of mankind. And that judgment would destroy every human being that had ever lived on the face of the earth. It's a kind of wrath of God. We could not stand up under that kind of wrath. And when that wrath was finally poured out with all its power and destruction, the Son of God stood in our place and said, "Take me instead." And that's what the gospel does. It placed your punishment on Jesus. So what is our interest in time, you know, if we're not afraid of God anymore? Well, finally, isn't time the commodity of your life? I know there's a move in our country to have everyone have everything. And a debate, at least, that everyone should have all of the stuff that goes around. And I don't want to enter into that debate, but here's one where God gives everybody the same amount. Everybody's hour has 60 minutes. Everybody's day has 24 hours. God gives you the commodity of life, everyone the same amount. It is our belief that God started time and that God will stop time and that God has in mind we use that time as his gift to us. And we believe there's a reason why he gave it to us in this place. I get a gardening magazine, and I always, you know how magazines are, I read the articles that I like first. And when I get done reading those, then I read the ones that are on board with. And finally, when I've read every article in the magazine, I switch to the ads in the back. I know I'm not alone. I'm probably a small minority, but I was reading just yesterday an ad in the back of my magazine. A 63-year-old woman is looking for a man. I'm 63, so it caught my attention. And I'm not looking for a woman, but she has a small farm in Florida, and she likes fine wine, fine cuisine, good music, and to travel, and she's looking for a distinguished gentleman. I almost called and said, "I'm coming, I'm bringing my wife," but then the last words were, "No religious person need apply." No religious person need apply. Here was a woman who wanted to live the good life, and I don't blame her for that. She's 5'3 and weighs 135. I mean, she put it all in there. She wanted to live her life just taking stuff she liked to do. We see life differently. We see time differently. The value of your life is not enriched by the stuff you get. It's enriched by the things you give away. We are blessed by God with a different way to live our lives. You are to take the time that you have and spend it and give it away, and that's how you become rich. What are you supposed to do with your time? You're supposed to give it all back to God. It's the one stewardship item that doesn't have a percentage. It doesn't have your best shot. It doesn't have a tithe. You're to give every moment of your life back to God. We get caught up sometimes in the talent and treasure part of stewardship, and those are important, but the thing that flavors your life and sets the direction of your life is what you decide to do with the time of your life. I appreciate that you give your worship time to God. It's a much better place because we have sound equipment people, and we have an organist, and we have someone playing the violin, and we have a choir, and we have ushers, and we have so many people, and it's a much better thing. Saturday night, I was singing along with Tommy and Eddie and Martin, and the two Davis girls were in the front row, and I sounded good. You know, I was just singing away, and I had to go downstairs to get something during the song, so I just kept singing, and I noticed when I got by myself in the basement, I didn't sound near as good. I don't think I was hearing me up here. I was hearing other people. There's a joy that we share this time together, and that's a very important thing, and I appreciate the fact that so many of you volunteer other days of your life and other evenings of your life, and you do things to support this local congregation, and that's a significant thing, and it matters a lot. This is a different discussion. Who owns your time? Who has ownership of your life? I'm not talking about a plan. That comes later in stewardship. I'm talking about an acknowledgement. I'm talking about an acknowledgement that is tied up in assurance and in trust and in faith. I was placed here now in this place, in this time by God, and I give Him back this place. I give Him back this time. I give Him back this life because that's what He asked us to do. Moses asked God what His name was, and God said, "I am is my name." And that is not just a moniker you hang on somebody. It's a statement of existence. I am. That means God exists. God has always existed. He never started. He will never end. There's a huge doctrine tied up in just that name. I want to tie a doctrine up in a name that I want you to take on. When someone says, "Who are you?" If you can simply answer, at least in your mind, "I am His." It's a statement of existence. It's a statement of why you get up every day. It's a statement of how you live your life. And there's a remarkable thing. When you give God the time of your life, it changes everything. I love YouTube because you can hear any song by anybody. It's just amazing. It's incredible. Any song by anybody. There's probably me singing in the hall on YouTube somewhere. I don't know. Don't listen to that one if there is. But I like a song by Janis Joplin called "Me and Bobby McGee." You know that song? Janis Joplin's life is a disaster. I mean, if you read this description of her life, she looks miserable every moment of her public life. She looks miserable, but she really could belt out a song. And "Me and Bobby McGee" is one of my favorite. It has a haunting line, though. She says in that song, "I'd trade all of my tomorrows for just one yesterday." When you give your life to God, you get to give Him every one of your regrets. If you have one moment in your past that you feel miserable about, you have permission from God to give that away. Your shame, your guilt, your misery over your past mistakes have been erased from the eternal sheet of God, no longer marked under your name, marked under the name of Jesus. So you have permission to not regret anymore. You have permission to live without that anymore. The three parts of time have changed now. Your past, as impossible as it may seem, your past has been changed because God removed the stain of sin from your past. Give away the regret. You are not called by God to live under that burden of regret. You can throw it away. Your future, you're no longer afraid about your future because you believe God places you where you are for His reason and for His purpose. And if He places you into the future, then He has something for you to do there. Do not be afraid of the future anymore. In this moment, What God asks you to do is simply to give it away to Him, moment by moment, step by step. If you carry a heavy burden, carry it in the name of God. If you go to some new place in your life, go in the name of God. If you are going through your life and you feel like there is no big event going on and that life is happening all around you, then rearrange how you think, because God has left you here to be His person in that place. I like going on roller coasters, even though they scare me. I mostly don't like them, but if I don't go, I have to hold Jan's purse and she goes on it, so I go. I saw people doing the craziest thing. When they got to the top of the first hill and they're hanging on, they let go of the rail. I thought, these guys are insane. They're going to fly off. I kind of hoped they would, because they're nutty, you know. Then I tried it. It is really a fun ride when you let go of the rail. You don't fall off, by the way. Your hat does. That's a bad thing. But it's quite a fun ride when you let go. It seems to me that there is a spiritual kind of roller coaster that goes on in our life, that the ride begins when you have the courage to just let go. And when you let go of your fear, and you let go of your regret, and you let go of your longings, and you let go of your plans for life, then God gives you His plans, and God gives you His promises, and then the ride begins. God grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard this treasure we have in Jesus. Amen.